Welcome to Invasion of Privacy. I'm Kate Wolfe, and today I have Jessica Brodkin, comedian, psychic, Reiki master, and more with me over Zoom. Hi.
Hi, thank you for having me.
You're so welcome. So let's just get right into it. I don't want to say before, well, I guess, were you a CIA analyst and a comedian? Because I know that, that's what you were doing. They overlapped, right?
It overlapped. Yeah, they did.
So how did that go? Have you always had psychic abilities since you were young? Did they develop and get stronger as an adult? Let's talk about when you got these abilities.
I think I had them when I was a little kid, but I think I shut them down. But I don't, maybe till like 10. And then, but I didn't really think about it. I guess, you know, when little kids have imaginary friends or that, adults think are imaginary friends. I think I was just seeing things that I didn't realize were there.
Okay.
So I think I didn't really become super intuitive until 12 years ago. 12, 13 years ago is when it really hit hard. And I was at the agency at the time, and I was a comedian at the time, but I had a mental health crisis breakdown, and that's when everything, and I meditated a lot. I just sat in the woods meditating.
Okay.
For long, long periods of time. And then things just started to pop off. I don't know how else to say that.
No, I understand. It was similar in my journey, I think, of just
Really?
pushing them down and then suddenly them rushing back and thinking, I'm nuts.
Yeah,
For a
yeah,
bit.
yeah. I definitely went to the psychiatrist and psychologist. I mean, I was already there, but I was like, hey, am I schizophrenic? Because I was afraid. I was really afraid. And they said no, which was surprising for me. You know, but I had a lot of misdiagnosi. I don't know how many do my.
Both sound acceptable over here.
Yeah, my English is not very good looking. I don't know. I don't know, like some basic things. But yeah, I had some misdiagnoses. And then the main thing was that came out was eventually was. Complex PTSD.
Okay.
So that was like the main sort of event. But I was really, I guess, lucky at the time in some ways. Lucky that I was working for the government and had like a health insurance that I don't think I can ever have again in my life. I mean, you know, that kind of, and being able to see like, I mean, I have health insurance, but I don't trust it the way that, you know, the Blue Cross Blue Shield of the government. So I was able to really take care of a lot of things. That I think most Americans don't have that privilege, you know?
Good health insurance is pretty important.
Pretty important. Yeah. Yeah. I had it. Yeah. So that was what, anyway, sorry.
And then what made you go into comedy? Because you were a comedian before it all started rushing back.
That's right. This is, I don't know if this is embarrassing. I did the Landmark Forum. If you know what
What's
that is, I did the Landmark Forum is like this. They put like hundreds of people in a room. Somebody convinced me, my cousin, who's like my brother, his friend convinced me to do the Landmark Forum. And you basically are coached with this large, large group of people. And then everybody has like a breakthrough. It was like one of those, it was like kind of one of my first, I had already received Reiki at that time. So Reiki was probably my first hippy dippy, sort of, not hippy dippy, sort of like more alternative thing that I started doing because modern medicine failed me. Was unable to treat me. So I ended up on a Reiki master's table and then my life started to shift. And then I went to the Landmark Forum and I felt that I was like, oh, I've always wanted to be a writer. So I started writing. I was in DC at the time. I started writing at the DC Improv, taking classes on sketch. I ended up meeting the founder of the Pit, Ali Farhadian. Is that his name? Yeah, Ali. Yeah, I met him and he was like, why don't you come for the summer in New York and do the month-long sketch writing? So I did that, and I was in a class with Hannibal Buress before he was famous, and a whole bunch of other people. I had this feeling that if I don't, I guess I was, I had this feeling that if I don't start stand up, I will regret it in the future. I sort of, I was in my 20s and I thought, if I'm 50 years old and looking back on my life, well, what would I regret not doing?
Right.
And
right.
comedy was the number one thing that came up. And I remember now I did improv in college. I did improv in theater. And I wanted to do stand up when I was really, really young. And I know your son is really young, but I wanted to do stand up around 2021. And I was writing jokes, and my, I was married or engaged at the time, and my husband, my ex-husband, was staunchly against it and talked me out of it.
Interesting.
But I eventually got back on my path.
Yeah, I feel like it was through my divorce that I got into comedy. I don't know if I would have done it while in a relationship. I think it's interesting. Not every man wants a really funny counterpart.
Not every man. I'm like, do men want funny women?
I think my husband enjoys that I'm funny, but
yeah, I'm sure.
In our dynamic, he's often the funnier one. But I think as a stand-up comedian, a lot of times we take all of our life force and funniness and put it all onto the stage, that sometimes when we're off the stage, we're like, oh, I can't be funny right now. It's like I put it all there in that moment. So maybe some of mine's still coming back in regular life. But I definitely know I've hung out with some of the funniest comics, but some of them in the green rooms seem very drained. I'll say that. Seem very drained when you're talking to them. They don't have the same charisma, you know, off stage. Now, I'm not saying that about all of them, because it's not true. I'm saying some, I think, when you go up that many times and you're just like, funny, 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 maybe you don't have some healthy practices to go along with it, it can drain you, I think.
I mean, I think a lot of comics are also introverted.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I think they're just introverted and they don't want to talk to other people. I'm introverted. No one believes me, but I am. So I just, when I tell people I'm introverted, they're like, that's impossible. And I'm like, no. This is... like when I go on vacation, I go alone in the woods. Like that's my dream. So you became funny after your divorce. Do you think right after, I guess? Or not became funny.
I was always funny.
But you
funny.
Became a comic. Yeah.
It was after my divorce, because we had a 2-year-old son when I got divorced. So suddenly I had joint custody. I was used to all my time being a mother. Right. And then suddenly I had half the week open, even though I was still teaching. So I just had extra energy then. So I was volunteering for a charity, and then I made a jewelry business. And then I found my way to comedy and loved it. I became obsessed with it and still am, but to a different degree than I was.
Yeah.
But it was freeing, you know? And then came my crazy spiritual awakening like you had, and you know, when you're already in comedy and then that's happening, you naturally want to bring it to the stage. But I'm sure you can relate, back then I was like, oh, they're going to think I'm completely crazy and everyone's going to want to commit me. And I think a lot of people did want to commit me back then. But now it feels like it's more accepted, for sure, to have abilities. We're in the global awakening. It is happening. So.
I'm still working on bringing it to stage, but I'm working on bringing it through a one-woman show. So I think that kind of allows more sort of flexibility than stand-up, because stand-up generally wants to make fun of the spiritual, or anything sort of like out of the ordinary. I make fun of crystals, you know?
You do?
Oh, absolutely. I make fun of myself for liking crystals, 100%. But there's so many crystal jokes out there. I'm glad people are talking about it.
And we got alien jokes out there now. I think it's just become more acceptable to talk about at this point, which is good. I mean, a lot of people thought, because we had the eclipse two sure. days ago, a lot of people thought the world was going to end on Monday. I definitely felt like it was ushering in a new era in a sense, but not complete end times.
Sure.
Did you see any of the videos capturing certain interesting interdimensional beings or aliens? I don't know what they were yet, but people who were filming the eclipse caught on their recording beings kind of like zooming past, which that doesn't surprise me. It excites me.
No, I had no idea about any of this. I was on a, tell me, please.
Well, I was just scrolling through TikTok the next day and I saw about six videos from different angles of the same kind of thing, of a being that looks like a dragon or Mothman-ish or something, zipping through the skies. There you go. And it's the year of the dragon. And then the CERN, and I wish I knew more about CERN before bringing CERN up, but I know that they were trying to open a portal or something.
What?
I know they have like this crazy, I didn't know I was going to bring up CERN. They have
so, I don't know what this is. So I'm just like,
they have this technology. I'll look up what CERN stands for, but they have this technology and a lot of money, and they are working on trying to find the ghost particle, like the magical particle in life that, I don't know. I think science is trying to grasp at spirituality. And I think their big particle reactor.
I know what you're talking about. I know what you're talking about.
It's the European Organization for Nuclear Research.
Yes.
Doing some crazy stuff. And I know that they were doing something that day. And I don't know. I just think it's going to keep getting more and more interesting as we humans realize our reality is not what most people think it is. I'm not saying I have all the answers. I do not. I like being surprised for the most part as well, but I think it's going to keep getting weirder and weirder. And I think we yearn for that. The mundane life that most people live is too much, you know, just like routines that people can't break out of. I'm not saying you have that, but a lot
no,
of people.
I have a problem keeping routines. So I'm like, oh, routines. That sounds so good. You know, it's like, you can keep a routine. That's amazing.
Yeah. Routines were hard for me unless I'm hired by an employer that makes you keep the routine or you lose your job, you know, but when it's just me doing comedy, routines can be pretty hard. But I just think we know there's magic here, and it's exciting when more and more truth is exposed.
So I want to ask, I guess, like, I'm in a phase of my life where I feel very mission driven. I guess I've always been mission driven, but I feel really, really mission driven. And I guess my question to you, I don't know if it's appropriate for me to ask you questions because this is your podcast.
No, I like it.
Okay. Because I'm like, what do I do? I'm like, I have questions, but this is your show.
No, please ask.
Okay. Like, what is your sort of goal, or what is your like sort of viewpoint? Because for me, like, I really think of, I'm not so, I don't want to say I'm not so deep into spirituality. Like, my goal is to use spirituality to heal people. Mm. Otherwise, I don't really care anymore. Do you know what I mean? Like, it just sort of threw itself on me. And my goal is like, okay, I heal individuals. And then also just like, how do we heal the collective? Because there's so many problems. And I think that the problems are just, they're changing and they're escalating in different ways. So like, my mind is on like various, like very specific topics of healing in terms of, because I don't know the truth about it. I mean, we don't know the truth about aliens, right? Like, we had that congressional hearing. We had the Peruvian mummies that looked like cake, right? Do you remember that? No? Do you
know? No, I remember seeing those pictures, yes.
Yeah. There was a guy in the front row of New York Comedy Club this past Saturday, who is really chatty, and he's an older Peruvian guy, and I called him one of those mummies, and he was so, would not stop. He loved it though. He was very spicy. He was just like, you know, just like kind of yelling at the stage. So I just naturally made fun of him. Anyway, that sounds horrible that I called him a mummy, but
no, it's funny.
It worked. And I was like, are you cake? And then like, but yeah, I don't know. It sounds like you're, so I guess I'm asking like, what's your view? What's your sort of overall scene of what's going on? Cause I feel like we're looking at things from really different angles, you know?
Well, mine is also for healing myself and the collective. So the biggest intent is that, because boy, do I feel the pain here, you know, in my own system, and then collectively I can feel it and I experience it, like going back into teaching and feeling my students' pain and how they're seeing life. And a lot of them don't feel able to really tell most adults, hey, like this sucks, because they don't feel listened to, you know? Sure. So I very much want to find my own peace, my own healing, and help the I'm not saying I'll do it myself, help with others, you know, create a new way of being and navigating this world. It doesn't have to be so parasitic where like a certain percentage is making money and quote unquote thriving, even though they're not thriving either. Whereas
they're
so
not thriving.
Many others,
no.
don't have basic needs met, you know? So
I want to
help shift the frequency here on Earth. And I know myself and others have been doing that. I've witnessed that change since my crazy awakening around, I guess, 2012, you know? So,
Oh, wait. Wow. It was the same time for us.
I know. When the more you and I talk, I'm like, wow, that's so weird. The similar timelines even, but it makes sense because 2012 was the end of the Mayan calendar and people were freaking out, and it was the end of a type of consciousness. And now we're trying to move from that collective suffering into another way. And community is important. Finding your tribe, your people, just people who speak the same language and want similar things. I think that's still happening because of the shift that's occurring here on Earth. I mean, that's why I don't even mean to get political, because I'm not into either candidate, but the whole Make America Great Again to me is ridiculous, because I'm like, I can't think of any time I've learned about in history class where I'm like,
America
that sounded
great.
Like they were all doing great. Like, no, there's been slavery and misogyny and, I mean, racism is linked to slavery, but there's just been horrific things for all that I can think of that we've learned about. So we need a whole new era to come in. And I think a lot of us are trying to do that. And by being yourself, I love the aliens and stuff like that, because during my crazy awakening in 2012, I started having experiences with their consciousness. And I thought I was crazy at first until I met others who also worked with certain enlightened aliens and stuff like that. And those are the beings I focus on, the ones that are here for enlightenment and kind of guardians of the Earth in a certain way. I'm not fucking with scary ones that are here for wartime or shit like that. That's not my vibe.
You know, you were such an alien person. I'm excited about this. I don't talk about aliens with anyone. I have like one friend who's like a big alien. I don't even know how to describe him. Alien head. He really knows his stuff.
Alien head is a good name.
Alien head. Yeah, it is a good, right? Because it's like sneaker head, alien head, tech bro. I mean, we need to crystal girly. Like we need like tech bro, crystal girly.
And I have alien parts within me that I've had to claim. Like even, I'll tell you, one of my most self-conscious things is this, my neck. It reminds me of a xenomorph. I just watched all the alien movies with my husband. I'm like, why do I have a xenomorph-like neck? And then I have like above my gums, I have like these like shark teeth looking things. Like I have a crazy gum jaw thing. So I've accepted also my monstrous parts. They're not very enlightened alien parts, I guess, but I've also just kind of had to claim
so many questions.
I've done a lot of shadow work. So
yeah.
even though yeah. I know I'm a light being wanting healing, I've also claimed my monstrous parts. And yeah. I don't know what to do with all of those places yet, but I've at least said, okay, you exist. And yeah, and I'm not really ashamed of them. Like, my favorite movies usually portray characters that embody non-duality, the light and the dark. So yin yang energy.
Yeah, I think about the light and the dark a lot, and people's shadow self. But the other thing that concerns me a lot that is related to shadow is honestly how people behave on the internet. Because our lives are very online in a way that they haven't been before. They're becoming more and more so. We have a whole generation that like lives on their phone. And then most people live on their phone. Like, I ride the train to the city most of the time. And then I just sit and I just stare at everyone on their phone, and just a sea of people addicted to our computer pockets, you know, our pocket computers. And then, of course, all of the AI, not just the AI, but all of the Meta and TikTok and Facebook and Instagram, which is, of course, is owned by the same person. I mean, Facebook and, you know, and Instagram. We have one conglomerate that owns both. This is horrendous.
I know. And they're all spying. They're all getting all this information from us.
And we're all addicted, right? And so when people comment, I think that a lot of darkness, people's darkness comes out online, right?
Well, some people really, and they have like their username is literally like user 05, bubble, you know, it's yeah. funny, like, oh, how tough some people can be when they're hiding behind an anonymous handle. But yeah, I think so many people are angry, hurting, jealous, sad, and that's a good place for them. I'm not saying it's a healthy place, but it's a good place for them to try to get it out instead of actually going within and working with these energy systems. It makes sense to be angry here or sad here on Earth. There's some crazy stuff going on. And many humans have not done the work to actually look at themselves. I know we don't agree on the twin flame concept. However, if we look at it just as your most intense mirror, it's once again about acceptance of our truth and what we're made of. And a lot of our places and parts, we've been trained to be ashamed of. Like, this is what a human is. This is how you're supposed to act. But the truth is, most people aren't this cookie cutter thing that we've been told a lot of our lives that this is what a human is. I mean, look at how many crime documentaries are. People are obsessed with violence because it's just an energy system that hasn't been worked out or hasn't found a place as to where it actually deserves in terms of us being animals and enlightened beings, you know? So I think it's just about going within, looking at what your truth is. It doesn't mean your truth can't shift or heal. So if you look in, you go, oh, I have an inner murderer within me. It doesn't mean you just accept it and allow it to be that same shape forever, but you at least honor that truth, bring it to the light, let it alchemize, let it shift, and just try to hold space for your truth to arise. It takes time. I'm not there yet. I'm still working on who I am and what my places are and how to work with them. But I think the beautiful thing about shadow work is saying you're allowed to look. You can see what you're made of and what you're connected to. So since we're all connected, you know, it's like, okay, well, these are the things we're feeling. This is what we're swimming in. And, you know, I'm excited to claim all of it, although it definitely can freak me out sometimes. But I like seeing my psychic gifts come out more and more, my abilities, even if it's linked to both the light and the dark. I don't mind. I am who I am, and I try my best. I try to always honor healing, and my intent is for healing. So I just move forward claiming all these parts.
That's beautiful. Have you done parts work? Did we talk about this?
Like archetypes kind of stuff?
No, internal family systems.
Oh, no.
Are you familiar with internal? No. Yeah.
I've heard it, but I don't really know much about it.
Internal family systems is a really profound way to do shadow work. And it's also a profound way that people can do shadow work on themselves. So, which is great. Because I think a lot of people, like, they have their mental health struggles. A lot of people have struggles in terms of material security. So, rising costs and stuff. And so they have a hard time just like making ends meet. I think that capitalism is something, or the way things are structured, they're having a really challenging time with that. Gender roles, I think, are really difficult for a lot of people. By gender roles, I mean also just like 80% of suicides are men. For men under 45, their greatest risk is themselves. 50% of men who commit suicide have no history of mental health issues. It's nuts. Things are like not good. And then you have this whole divide between people. But internal family systems is basically that they're similar to what you're saying, that there are no bad parts. The people are made up of various parts. And some of those parts, they're protectors, they're exilers. It's sort of like similar to inner child work. It's like inner child work on steroids. So one thing that the way that I use my abilities now is that I'll work on with someone. I'll be like, okay, I'm sensing, did something happen to you when you were 9? They're like, oh yeah, I committed arson or whatever. Something happened. Or, you know, or what about when you were 14? Oh, this happened, that happened. So I'll touch someone and I'll be able to tell, or I have someone who's going through a divorce and her inner teenager was going nuts. So we're like, okay, let's talk to the teenager. Like, what is that part of you need? How do we, like, there was a part of me, I guess, from my relationships ending in my 20s, those parts were stuck in my physical body.
Yes.
And so I had like a 23-year-old living in my sacrum who was like, we're never going to be in a relationship again. You can't do that. No, trying to protect me. And then that sort of was just living inside of me. Honestly, I had a 26-year-old in me, a 28-year-old. I mean, not a person myself, but like, you know.
And I've, without using that name, I forget what you called it again, I've done similar work just in claiming, you know, the different, like you said, a 7-year-old, a wounded 13-year-old. You know, I really listen, because there's that book, you know, The Body Keeps Score. I never read it, but that title, like, yes, you know, we store trauma in our body and then want to process it, even if it's years later. And just to honor those different young places or whatever places are looking to be seen or looking to be expressed. And I definitely, when I first started comedy, my inner rebellious teenager was active and out for a lot of it. Even, and I didn't know then, but some of my jokes, some of my podcast episodes were accidentally passive aggressive to certain groups of people or a specific person. I was just acting out often on that inner, you know, rebellious teenager that was just like, fuck you, you know, I'm going to do what I want. I'm going to say what I want. But I think, as we claim these places and understand them, and even if we can't understand them, just acknowledge them. This exists and it is what it is. Our truth, our collective truth, is way more complicated and dark than most people like to admit. But that's why we've got documentaries like Quiet on Set coming out. There's so many things being unearthed, because human behavior can be really ugly, and we want to change it from being this hidden ugliness to people just understanding there are parts of ourselves that need to be acknowledged and healed to be a healthy, full functioning human.
I, you know, I think about it a lot. I think about, you know, Epstein, and then now P. Diddy, and then all of these people. And I wonder how much of darkness is just like built into human nature and will never go away. And I think about all of the suffering that exists and the polarity. And I had a friend who was very, I think, a sensitive person. And he was just like, man, the world is so hard and there's so much suffering. And I just don't know how to handle all of it. And I told him, I'm like, this is a planet of absolute duality. And the thing is that if there wasn't all that darkness, or if there weren't these people playing these roles of destruction, other people wouldn't have the opportunity to sort of like fix it and prove themselves. I don't know.
No, you're right. Bashar, an alien channel.
Oh, yeah.
He had a thing where as far as you can go back into the dark, you can catapult like a slingshot into the light. It allows for that growth that you're talking about. So the opposite of healing is disease, you know, dis-ease. Right. So in order to be able to experience that, you can also heal it and create this type of growth that has currency in the universe and the spiritual realm. Just because you can't always see the growth, it's not the same as watching a physical manifestation of something, but having growth and shifting who you are on an energetic level is huge. And that's why it's important to listen to your body, because sometimes your instincts are saying, and you know, we had the session, we did a healing session. And when you, Jessica taps into the Akashic records, it's amazing. You were saying rest, 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 because as I continue to go through shifts and try to heal the Lyme disease, fibromyalgia, I require rest, and that's hard for me. But you got to listen, because even if you can't physically see certain things occurring, doesn't mean they're not happening. And whether it's rest you need, or if your instincts are saying, get up, go, move, you know, it's about listening to your own truth. And that's a whole important part of the journey, is not letting everyone else tell you what to do or what you should be or how your routines are supposed to go. We're so unique. You got to really learn how to listen to your own soul song, your own vibration, and follow it. It's not easy. It's not easy for me even, you know, I still often am like, what path should I be on? And, you know, but being a human means figuring it out. And it's definitely not easy here, but I do love getting to connect to people who are in a similar pool, in a sense. And the more you and I have known each other for years, but we never got particularly close, not for any reason. It just didn't happen. And then now as we connect, I'm like, holy crap. Not that we're all similar, because we disagree on certain things in a beautiful way, but it's cool to meet other people who are having these experiences and have these abilities and are rocking it and figuring it out in a world where it's not easy to figure out how to honor all of these things and share them. Cause half the people still might be like, oh, she's fucking nuts.
I mean, I think that the correct audience will always find you. Mm. And the size of the audience doesn't matter so much. Mm. I mean, I've never really had big social media or anything. I went viral a few times in the news, but not. And then my practice was always full. Do you know what I mean? And I never post online.
That's amazing.
So thanks. But I think that what people think they need to do to reach people is not always what it is. And then there were all these, even comics or people who you have like a small conversation with, you say one thing that's nice. Sorry, fire trucks. And it really impacts them, and you might not even remember the conversation.
Right, right.
So like
the future is a hefty responsibility, and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
One of my friends who is a new dad, who was like, I remember you saying that I would be a really good dad. And I like don't remember this conversation at all. And he was like, and it helped him, like, you know what I mean? Or even one of the bookers in a comedy club now, he was like, I remember when I was a security guard and I was really shy and you like were really kind to me. And I was like, what? Like, do you know what I mean? He's like, you probably don't even remember, but you said this and this and this and it opened me up.
Right.
And so like there are all these like little like sort of like butterfly effect that we can have.
Yeah, and that's why it's so important to try to be a kind presence in the world, but an authentic presence, not the kind of kind where it's like, hi, bless your heart. And it's so dissociated and creepy.
Yeah. Yeah.
But just actual kindness that comes from a place of being yourself and actually listening to someone. So you didn't remember, but you listened to that man and you said something that did alter his way of thinking or his confidence in being a parent. And I think, yeah. And I also try to take in what you're saying about, it doesn't matter the amount of followers. It's always quality. It's, are you talking from your heart? Are you putting out there what feels authentic and good? And I think if you move like that, you know, if you believe in God and goddess or deities, if they're looking down, which they are, I mean, down's a funny thing. When they're looking at us, they're not like, oh, she only has this amount of followers, so we're not going to spiritually protect him or her. You know?
Yeah.
It's your intent. It's how you're moving through as a human, your authenticity. And I'm excited to see how the world continues to shift, because if we get the right people in power, we get these oceans cleaned, we could have really sustainable gardens, urban gardens, wherever, just a different way of being that's not sucking each other dry, the earth dry, and actually see what our potential is here on earth. I hate all these movies that are always like, finding a new planet because we fucked up Earth. And I'm like, how about our energy goes to saving Earth? We have such a beautiful planet. Like, instead of trying to escape it, we got to come together and fix this shit.
Yeah, I mean, Elon Musk is trying to colonize Mars, right?
Is he?
I mean, a lot of tech billionaires are working on, space travel.
Well, they can go on off to Mars, you know. If someone said Elon Musk lives on Mars, you're not going to see me crying, you know. I'm not saying he's not a good dude, don't know him, cool. But like, if they're so set on that, go ahead. But I mean, Earth is such a magnificent planet, and I think we can change things here. Save the planet, save ourselves in a sense. And I'm about it.
I recommend this book.
The Carbon Almanac. It's not too late. Okay. Wait, is that the eclipse on there? It looks like an eclipse.
Looks like an eclipse.
That's interesting, because we just had one, obviously.
This is great. Geothermal energy, drip integration.
We've got the CIA analyst brains coming out here. She's showing me these pages. I've got graphs.
This is a great book. And for IFS, I would get Greater Than the Sum of Our Parts.
Ooh.
An audiobook. So you can listen to prompts to help with shadow integration. Some of it you'll need to do with a therapist, but you could do a lot on your own. I haven't done it with a therapist yet. But
my rapping career was shadow work era. I just had so many.
I didn't know you had a rapping career. You had a rapping career?
Oh, well, yeah, I had a rapping era, and I'm not saying it's totally gone. I was writing the other day.
Can you?
You
can
never
you
know when another rap's coming out.
Can you rap about this? And
I should make a rap. It's not too late, based on the book. What's this? Oh, Reiki for Dummies rap. I couldn't do that yet because I don't know enough about Reiki. Although, because Jess is a Reiki master offering classes, I'm considering getting certified in Reiki as well as doing the non-dual Kabbalistic healings.
How does non-dual Kabbalistic healings work? Is that okay to ask? I don't know how that is. I don't know what this means.
Well, I think it's very specific. I went to a school that certifies you in this healing. And I'm sure there are other people who use the Kabbalistic Tree of Life for energy healing, but the person who started this school, I think he started a specific thing that I don't think is taught anywhere else. It does work. He did tune into, you know, sacred geometry. If you tune into it and study and feel the different energies or qualities of consciousness from it, it'll work. So, in my opinion, so it works. I just think Reiki is amazing and it couldn't hurt to learn a new energy healing.
I like stacking healing modalities.
Yeah.
I mean, Reiki is like really, it's attunement based. It's really wild. It's bizarre. It's not bizarre. It's great. I'm excited to, I've had two cohorts of Reiki one. I'm teaching my third cohort soon. And I had another cohort of Reiki two. It's exciting to sort of initiate a whole bunch of healers. And then eventually I'll be teaching Reiki Master in the fall.
That's amazing.
There are four levels. It's exciting to have like a army. We just need more healers out there. And sometimes I'm like, I'm going to quit healing. But I'm very attached to my clients, you know? I'm like, I spent all this time with these people. I don't know. But yeah,
and I feel like it's showing through you. You know?
So?
Yes. You look incredible, your energy is incredible. So what you're putting out into the universe, I feel, is completely coming back to you. It's reciprocal energy. And that's what we really want to do. We want the energy we're putting out to come back to us and to be in sync with our environment and the people we interact with. So I feel like you're killing it. I know we've just recently reconnected and I'm finding out more and more, but I'm definitely impressed with how you've navigated comedy and your spiritual awakening and your healing modalities. You really seem to have been listening to your instincts, which is what we got to do. Not easy. So I'm impressed.
That's very sweet. I wish I didn't quit comedy so many times right now, but maybe I needed to. I don't know.
Yeah, you can't regret that because from what I know, you had to rejuvenate. You had to just take a second. And it's hard to pause comedy because I've done it a bunch. I'm still in a pausing right now because I'm still teaching and stuff. And I think that's fine because when you don't look at life like it's that normal race to get to the end this age, you need to have been doing this. And at this age, this is where you're supposed to be. If instead you approach it as you're this unique being with your own pace and your own timeline, you get out of that and you just give yourself what you need. Because in my opinion, you can re-enter comedy whenever. I think Rodney Dangerfield quit for a while. And then it's when he came back, he got famous. Not that he's the epitome of health, but he was a pretty good comedian.
He was not okay.
Yeah.
he was actually.
But you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, taking a break from comedy because you need it is not a bad thing. It's just easy to get swept up in that world and then to feel guilty for needing a break.
Yeah. And then I say this as I'm like, oh, hey, take your time. Don't run back. Like come back when you're meant to, and you'll be fine. I find stand up extremely, I find stand up to be extremely shamanic.
Mm.
I'm sure you do too, or I don't know if you do. Do you find it shamanic? I find stand up to be a very shamanic art form, or it can be.
Yeah, it can be, depending on the approach.
Because
I can see that when I approach it, it can be, but I'm still working on not splitting when I'm on stage, meaning like leaving parts of myself behind while on the stage. I was super more split when I first started. So I'd go up there and say some really crazy things and then get off and be like, well, why do people think I'm a certain way? And it's like, well, I just said that sex joke and that crazy joke. So
yeah.
I'm being perceived as a part of me, but not my totality. And I think I keep trying when I do get on stage to be, you know, my whole self as much as I can be up there.
Yeah.
It's hard, but
it's so hard,
but that's when I feel it's shamanic.
Person, and you have to put it, you have to distill it into punch, 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 punch. So I think it's really hard.
It's so hard. And I just know, I mean, a lot of my jokes that I look back on, I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I was saying that on stage, or wow, I should have changed it so it was a little softer, not as like, you know, jagged. And but I was learning and having a spiritual awakening through while I'm in comedy. So a lot of the shit I said, I wouldn't say again, but I think it is a shamanic thing when you're able to be most of your fullest self up there. But I don't see many comics where I feel like, oh, they're totally their authentic selves here.
No.
There are some, but I've always liked Sarah Silverman. I mean,
it's really hard to be your full self. But the way I think about it is don't, first of all, like when you're a new comic and you're just learning how to tell jokes, the only place you learn is on stage. So a lot of new comics and even like toddlers or not toddlers, but like little kids, they're learning the boundaries of life just by being, right? So with stand-up, yeah. Like think of yourself as like a six-year-old. Let's say you're doing stand-up for 6 years or 5 years. 5 years, you're still like learning where the boundaries of society are, and those boundaries change with time. So I think that it's totally okay to have done that. But at the same time, I think if your energy is authentic, I don't think your words matter that much.
Oh. So that's, I mean, I see what you're saying.
Like for me, like you don't want to say things that are a lie about you, you know?
No, you're right. And that's part of the art form, because there are so many comics that just because their energy is so authentic and fresh, like in a good way, that they can get away with saying things and you already know, oh, that's sarcastic, you know? because they're a certain way. I got to a real extreme place for a bit. And I know a lot of my Jesus is handsome jokes really rubbed some people the wrong way. My labia game rap definitely rubbed some people the wrong way. And this is all obvious, but I didn't really know the ramifications until I felt them either in my body or just re-entering the world and being like, oh shit, these people are kind of pissed, you know, and feeling it just because I'm a bit ostracized. And that's okay. When I try to approach anything at this point, I try to be my fullest self. I still hold back a lot. Like I watch Theo Von is a very funny comic.
So I can't even handle it.
I've never met him, but when I see clips of his podcast and just he's like what you're saying in a sense. His energy is so
pure safe
or something. What'd you say?
Pure. He feels pure, and like he feels like a light bulb. He feels like the sun. His energy feels like the sun or something like that, right?
Yes. It allows him to say almost whatever he wants. And that's
crazy shit.
That's beautiful. I'm definitely not there yet. I still second guess. Oh gosh, is this going to hurt this people? Are people going to take it the wrong way? I'm very much still in my head of not hurting people. And, I guess that's my next breaking away from a certain mindset. But yeah, he's someone who I feel like nails that. And
his vibe. So when I do stand up, I really, especially if I'm hosting, I really focus on my vibe.
Sometimes
I have jokes, but it's like, this is a vibe game. Because it's like my job is through comedy to change these people's energy.
Yes.
So
yes.
I think about it as healing them now. I never did before, but I think about it now.
Yeah, I think when you get super, super comfortable where you can talk about all your, not just your spiritual stuff, but some of your quote unquote crazier thoughts. That's when, I don't want to say you'll take off because you've already taken off, but you know what I mean. I think, when you find out how to just fully say whatever is on your mind, I'm still recovering from feeling kind of blacklisted in a sense.
Can I ask what happened, or do you want to talk about it or no?
I think it was like a mixture of I was in comedy, having my spiritual awakening and trauma coming up and not having a strong enough support system physically, you know, people around me. I just didn't have enough to really keep me afloat in a certain way. And I was just acting out. There was a comedy duo thing I was in. And when I ended that, I think things blew up and went a certain way. I think I just started getting perceived in a certain light, and that's fair. You know, I'm not trying to play victim to it, but, and maybe I wasn't as blacklisted as I felt, right? Because when you're in a place of trauma and you're like pains out and you kind of feel glued to a bed, it can feel like the world's more against you than it actually is. People just keep moving, you know, they're just doing their own thing. But I think I just felt blacklisted in a sense. Like I just felt that a lot of people were happy for me to be out of that world. And I felt that, you know, I was like, oh, I'm not missed. As a matter of fact, some people are saying some really negative things about me, a lot of things which aren't true. And it just made me kind of want to hide for a bit, but also just the physical pain that took over, you know, that's the universe putting me in a headlock. And I just listened. I'm still listening, but I miss the world. I miss getting up on stage regularly. I don't miss the hours, but I do miss that.
Hours are brutal. Yeah.
Our hours are brutal, but that artistic expression that comedy can be is just incredible. It's amazing. But yeah, I don't necessarily feel, do I still feel blacklisted? I just feel like I made a lot of amazing connections during my over a decade in that world. And I don't think that a lot of the people I thought I was so close to kind of, I saw the real colors of the fabric in a sense. And it was like, oh, okay, that's not what I thought it was. That person who's like a brother or a sister to me actually wasn't, you know, it's now they feel more like an acquaintance, but who knows what could happen. So it still sometimes surprises me because I feel like I gave so much and am still being somewhat blocked, but that could be victim mentality and in my head, which I'm totally cool with. Whatever it is, I'm
family stuff. Could be family stuff coming through comedy. So reliving family trauma through the community of comedy is what it looks like from the outside.
Right, right. And I believe that, you know, all in all, I just need to, when I'm ready, kind of enter that world as much of my whole self as I can be. And I hope to be at Theo Von level one day and just say whatever I want and it comes it's off not, right. I'm sure he still offends people. I'm sure there's still people online commenting to him, but he seems really free in his comedy.
I think it's very hard to do anything without offending someone. And I think it's okay for people to be offended. I don't like that we live in a society where people will write to you and say, I'm offended. I had a boyfriend who would tell me he was offended when I would call him out on like his nonsense. It's like, well, I'm offended. I'm like, good. You should. I don't care. Like, why do you think I care if you're offended? Like, this is how, like, what makes you think that being offended is bad? Like, why can't people sit with their own discomfort instead of lashing it out? I mean, Mark Norman talks about this. It's like, just because you don't like something doesn't mean it has to go away.
Right.
Right. It bothers you. Like, be bothered.
Right.
Like, just sit with your with being bothered. The other thing is that I think that, I mean, obviously Kathy Griffith did the whole thing with Trump being beheaded.
Right. And,
she was really blacklisted.
Yes, she was like the ultimate.
I was like, everything will be fine. And I'm like, she was not fine. I mean, she's back and on the road and touring, but it took her like 6 years to get it back. And I think she had a lot of death threats and lawsuits. Things didn't go great for her. But for the most part, I think, but it's really hard to make anything authentic without upsetting people. Like, if you're not upsetting anybody, do you actually stand for anything? I don't know.
I know, because then you just become this, like, fluffy, not taking a stand in either way.
In either way.
Something I feel pretty passionate about is a ceasefire in Gaza. You know, right. I get scared even to say that. Yeah. You know, because then some people are like, you're Jewish and you're not a good Jew or whatever. Well, first of all, I have tattoos. The whole thing. So obviously I'm not
your
the best.
Your tattoos are epic.
Thank you. So, yeah. So, you know, I just have a lot of crazy things that go through my head sometimes, but I've yet to really say a lot of them out loud because I don't think the world has switched yet into feeling the vibes of a person, right? So if they could feel the vibes, they'd be less on alert. What's going to come out of this person's mouth instead of just being like, oh, this person's funny and they mean well. You don't have to agree with everything. And when I get into fights with my husband, he says a bajillion things that offend me and they allow me to look at them and grow. So you're right. Like just because something makes you uncomfortable or you don't like it, you can't just say this shouldn't exist. A lot of times it's something you need to look at more if it's triggering right. you that right. much. But
that's ultimate, not ultimate, but that is a form of shadow work.
Right.
Right. It's like, absolutely. Well, if the world offends you, then what do you have? You know, what's, have you done psychedelics?
Like, no, I'm too scared of those things. I've had moments while trying edibles years ago that sent me through the cosmos in a way that was insanely jarring. Yeah. So because of how sensitive I am, I really can't mess with too much of that stuff. And I'm okay with that, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I know that they can be very helpful, very eye-opening. Why? You have, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but I only, can you tell by my shirt? It's like, it's supposed to be this shirt. This is the I've done psychedelic shirt. Yes, I have. Actually, this is a CIA story I can tell. This is not classified at all. I was 26. I was walking through the hallways. And I saw there was a charity, a silent charity auction. And I was walking through and I saw this beautiful object that I didn't know what it was, but I was like, I have to have it. And I bid on it for like $25. And it's right here.
Oh, wow. That's crazy. What is that?
This is a ceremonial paddle from one of the cities in the Amazon in Peru. This is what one sees when one is on ayahuasca, which I haven't taken, or taking DMT. These are the fractals that people see. I didn't know what it was at all, but I was like, I have to have it. And I had not even had a Reiki session, had a mental breakdown, nothing happened. This thing has been with me forever. And I had a shaman come to my house. And she was like, oh, this is an ayahuasca paddle. And then everything tracked, right, in terms of what it was. And I had no idea. And and there's this one time it actually flew off my, in my old apartment, my bed was next to some wall. And this actually flew off the wall and hit me in the head and gave me a concussion, which is nuts. And then after that moment, I started trauma therapy again.
Oh, wow.
So even though I didn't take ayahuasca, this paddle went, knocked me on the head. I started having tremors again. And I was like, oh, I have to go back to trauma therapy, which I had was in for like 5 years. And so this thing messed with me. Anyway, I think there was a part of me at that age, I think I was around 25, 26, maybe 25, that recognized this. And was like, and knew it was some sort of sacred object, but I had no idea what it was. And ironically, I found an ayahuasca paddle in the halls of the CIA.
Interesting. Synchronicities all over the place.
Synchronicities. And, but no, I have done psychedelics. I did it with the intention of healing. So it was always intentional. And my most recent journey was with MDMA and an MDMA therapist. And that's supposed to be one of the best treatments for post-traumatic stress disorder. One of my favorite books that actually my buddy who loves aliens recommended was LSD and the Mind of the Universe. I haven't done LSD yet, but it really, I think, creates a different framework. What I liked about psychedelics is it creates a different framework for viewing the mind, the world, everything that is outside of us is inside of us. So, and it's one thing to like say it and to hear it. It's another thing to really see it. And so that's like a really, that was a really profound experience for me.
I don't know. Yeah, and I think there are different ways put here on Earth to reopen up to the energy systems that are real and just ancient truths. You know, there are ancient truths throughout the cosmos, and there are signs and hints all over. I mean, cave paintings even have symbols that they have, like alien spaceship symbols on a lot of these cave paintings, you know? So the information's here. I think people are starting to search for it and just break free of, oh, but I'm not supposed to do it this way or that way. Yeah. And instead just kind of following what their instincts are saying. And I'm excited because I feel like portals are getting explored more and just parallel realities, different dimensions, aliens, you know, who are we already in contact with? People talking about Middle Earth. There was this one TikTok video I saw where there was a scuba diver who found water when he's already in water. And it's like, what is going on? You know, like there's just much we don't even know that is here on Earth, maybe hidden societies, all sorts of stuff. So I'm just excited as we become more and more enlightened to see what is here and hopefully just live a life that's more fun, less pain, more community. Yeah. I think a lot of people want to live in a community in a different way. You know, obviously we have neighbors, but more communal ways of living where there's a shared garden or a shared rec center, et cetera, a shared healing center. And yeah, I really hope that these things start getting built soon. So whatever opens the third eye, I'm down for. And I'm going to wrap up soon. Is there anything else you want to cover? I feel like you got to kind of co-host this with me, which I loved.
Sorry, I didn't mean to.
I have so many
questions for you. You know what I mean? Because you talk about aliens a lot, but I like don't know your relationship with aliens. So I don't know if this is like something to talk about here or elsewhere. I know, I guess I would share. I don't know how this could be helpful to people. There's a part of me that's like just wants to list a bunch of books in the and be like, okay, here are these books. This is it's for inner family healing. This is if you're an artist. Big Magic is one of my favorite books, by Elizabeth Gilbert. I don't know if you know that book, but that she wrote Eat, Pray, Love.
Yes,
I think that there's so many ways to approach art. And my relationship with art and comedy was really tough. I don't think I really came back to comedy truly until I was offered to be in London and Scotland last year. And then, you know, now I'm really truly back. And so that feels really different because I was always running away from stand up. I was in it and then running away.
Right.
I think there are ways to approach comedy in a way that isn't painful for a sensitive person.
Yes. I mean, we might be the ones navigating that, not just us, but, you know, I think that's, at least from my perspective, there weren't many spiritual healers and comics.
Yeah.
Maybe now people are waking up to that. So there are more, but I think we're the ones having to figure out how to make it not painful, whether it's comedy or whatever job someone may have. It's like, how can I be in my body and not want to escape it constantly and feel good doing whatever it is I'm meant to do during the day? And I think collectively we're trying to figure that out. Like, we should be able to feel good being in our bodies.
Yeah. I didn't really come back until I did a lot of hypnosis. So I worked with a hypnotherapist. Last year, I really spent the year working on myself and not doing that much. And then this year, I feel like I can take action. But I spent like really a year just going inward and just doing a lot of deep work.
Well, I love it. I feel like your energy feels pure yourself. We're talking about Theo Von. But yeah, you've got that energy and I'm excited to see what you do and maybe what we do together.
Oh yeah.
Let's see.
Yeah, I'm thrilled to be here. I'm thrilled to be reconnected with you.
Me too.
And to be like your sister on this journey, you know,
Amen.
And be like, hey, you know, I know how you're feeling. I know what you're going through. We have so much in common and we have like some differences as well, obviously, in terms of facing different stuff, right?
Yeah. And thank goodness, because if we had everything alike, it would be like
it's
a Twilight
already,
Zone.
It's already like, yeah, it's already, I don't want to say creepy, but it's already like kind of like, is that me in a parallel universe? Oh, just
right. You want to feel unique at least a bit, you know? Like,
yeah.
If we had everything mirroring, I'd be like, Jess, what is happening? But yeah, I'm so excited. Thank you so much for coming on. Where can people find you?
They can find me at for Reiki. They can find me at loveandlightservices.com. I need to fix my website, but you can find me there. You can book me there. You can find me on Instagram at Jessica Brodkin, Brodkin. I have a link tree. I'm doing a lot of, I will be running my one woman show a bunch of times. I just made some really gorgeous AI art. I'm so excited. I love the poster. I have to show you. It's really, I'm so proud of this. It's so weird that I'm proud of this, but I am. But yeah, in August, I'll be in the Fringe in Edinburgh in Scotland. And then, so basically the only thing I'm offering will be stand-up, one-woman show, and Reiki. If people want to see me or work with me or come to a show, that would be great.
Yes. And I would definitely recommend doing one of those and or following her on Instagram. And yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited to follow your journey and for us to now be in contact more because it feels like something's brewing and we will figure it out. But thank you everyone so much for listening. Bye.